This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alameen. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. اليوم 20 من شهر ربيع الأول 1446 الموافق للرابع والعشرين من شهر سبتمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So if you remember, we are still dealing with this hadith of Jabir ibn Sulaym. And he says, I visited a place and I found people around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are rushing to whatever comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I asked somebody next to me, who is this person? And I'm told that this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Anta Rasulullah, are you the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him with that which fit him, because he's a person most likely who doesn't know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's coming from a village. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him additional information on top of what he asked, because he needs those information for him to be doing things in the right way and also to have the correct belief and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, Ahad ilayya. He said, Ya Rasulullah, give me wasiyah. Advise me with something that I will be doing in order to succeed in life. General advice, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tusubbanna ahada. Don't curse or insult anyone. Don't you ever curse or insult anyone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him this, قَالَ فَمَا سَبَبْتُ بَعْدَهُ حُرًّا وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَاتًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, don't curse or insult anyone. The man says, he says, I never curse, I never insulted anyone, whether this person is a slave. So subhanAllah, if he doesn't insult the slave, for sure he will be staying away from insulting those whom he respects more. Because you know, slaves, they have no value before the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only Islam recognized these ones to be acting as human beings, to be considered human beings. Islam says they are our brothers. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them under our custody, it doesn't mean we are allowed to do whatever we want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands for them. If you oppress them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will take revenge on their behalf, because Allah hates oppression. So that's why you find them enjoying life under the umbrella of Islam, which never been before. And this is the information that is hidden from our communities. People talk about Islam, come with slavery and all of these things that you have been hearing from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from within and from outside the Muslim territories. If you look at the slavery and the way Islam dealt with it, subhanAllah, it is an absolute favor, a blessing actually for those human beings who are captured. Because Islam doesn't take slaves randomly. Islam does not agree with that. Actually, there is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Thalathatun yaqulu Allah azza wa jalla thalathatun ana khasmuhum yawm al-qiyamah. Wa man kuntu khasmahu faqad khasamtu." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are three people. I will be the one who will be fighting them on the day of judgment. And one of them, he says, "Wa rajulun ba'a hurran fastawfa minhu." ورجل باع حرا فأكل ثمنه. and a person who sells a free person, and he consumes that money. This is Islam. Islam is very sensitive on human trafficking and all of these matters, you know, that we hear today. Shows zero tolerance. So the concept of slavery, it does exist, and it remains until the day of judgment. Islam only did it for those people who fight Islam. Islam doesn't just go to a place and just capture somebody who doesn't believe in Islam. No, we don't do this. But those who come and attack and fight the Muslim and the Muslim community, these are the ones when Islam get them, they will be enslaved as a punishment for them. Go and ask any human being who is not Majnoon. If you fight a person and that person gets you and he gave you a choice at the end of the day, whether to kill you or to enslave you, what would you be choosing? He will be choosing to be enslaved because probably he might escape, he might run away, he might be treated in that right way. And subhanAllah, when Islam bring them to the community, they're well treated. They're well treated. You can't just do whatever they used to do in the Jahiliyyah time, you know, and kill them in the way you want, cut their ears, cut their nose, in the way they used to do all of these useless and oppression against their slaves. Islam is the only religion that says there are some issues, some problems you might get yourself involved in, and you cannot go out of it unless if you free a slave. There are in Islam things which you do, you have to free a slave for you to get a forgiveness from Allah. This is what it should be, what should be shared, you know, with others. People to know the stance of Islam concerning these matters. That's why you can see, because of the good behavior, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his freed slave, you know, the given slave by his wife Khadija, Zayd bin Haritha. He chose to be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a slave rather than going to his parent, his father and his uncle. He said, yes, I know them, Ya Rasulullah, I recognize them. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, choose one of them. Either you stay with me or you go with them. It's okay, free of charge. They don't need to buy you. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I want to stay with you. He chose to stay with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rather than going with those two people who, one of them happened to be his father. This is slavery. I'm just quoting a bit. Wallahi, what you have is much bigger than this. In the way Islam recognized a slave and dealt with them, encouraged them, you know, and give them a very good, you know, status in our community. That's why in Islam, to marry a slave is halal or haram by the free person. Marrying a slave, is it halal or haram? Haram. Why is it haram? Haram unless if you fulfill two conditions. Number one, you are afraid of committing zina. Number two, you cannot afford marrying a free person. Why? Because according to the principle, if you marry a slave and you are a free person, all of your children, they will be the slaves of the master of that slave. Islam doesn't want this. That's why it stopped the intention of anyone who wants to marry a slave. Because his children are going to be the slave of somebody, so we're increasing the slave community. So Islam says no, you cannot marry a slave unless if you cannot afford, you know, marrying a free person and you are scared of committing zina if you don't marry. Then you go and marry. But marrying between the slaves themselves, amongst the slaves, this one is okay, it's fine. You get it by a free person marrying, Islam says no. So they have no recognition until the time Islam arrives and gave them status and care and concern. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ understood that. So that's why he started with this. He says, even the slave also I did not insult. SubhanAllah. He said, I do not curse a slave or a free person. Even animals, he says, I don't curse them after that. I don't oppress anyone after hearing this. And I guess we talk about this, that a Muslim laysa bi sabab. A Muslim is somebody who always try to say good or keep quiet. Train yourself upon this. Whenever you open your mouth, good will come out of it, or just keep silent. No matter how much they pressure you, they curse you, they do whatever they want to do, do not reply with the same. Allah says, idfa billati hiya ahsan. Fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun ka'annahu waliyyun hamid. They curse you, don't curse them. They abuse you, don't abuse them. They accuse you, don't accuse them. They insult you, don't insult them.
That's the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although you have a right to revenge, but Islam says not to take revenge is always better for you. It's always better for you. قَالَ وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَاتًا. He said, I don't curse a camel or shat. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, don't you ever belittle any ma'ruf, anything that is considered good Islamically, do not belittle that. And we talk about this, right? Because a Muslim doesn't know which part of his righteous deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take and accept it and make it the most valuable act of worship he did and take him to paradise because of that. You don't know. So that's why as a Muslim, my job is just to try to identify what is right and do it. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do? Just do it. You see small, you see small in your eyes. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is big because He loves it. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, my dear brothers and sisters, is big. The value is far beyond what you can ever imagine. But unfortunately, our life is so materialistic. This kind of materialistic, you know, life that we adopt to ourselves, that's why we categorize, you know, the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam into qushur, walub, all of these things that you hear. These are simple matters, these are big matters. Rajul, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing it, and he was very serious on it, why do you come in this time of ours and say, oh, this one is little, this one is this and that? Always remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is doing it, to see whether you can call it a little thing or a big matter. As Imam Malik said, Islam is all big. There is nothing in Islam that is simple. Everything is big and everything has value. And everything is great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Sharia says, sit down and drink, although there are some who said is makruh, not haram, what is it better for you as a Muslim? Sit and drink. By doing this, all the scholars on the face of the globe agree that you're doing the right thing. All the scholars. By doing this, everyone agrees that you're doing the right thing. And on top of all, even if it is makruh, what is the ta'rif of makruh? Makruh means dislike, right? Things which if you do them, you will not be sinning. But if you stay away from them, you will be rewarded. Which one is better for you, you know? Why would you stay away from something that will earn you reward and how much you lost? And also health-wise, alhamdulillah, and wallahi, anything advised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trust me, if you go deep down, scientifically, you find a lot of benefits. This is what your eyes and your research can reach. That which is hidden, you know, from us is far greater than what we see. That's why we need that trust. To trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just do. He says, go, just go. You should believe that yes, it is beneficial for you. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you to do. So scientifically, we have been discovering things, you know. They say it's unhealthy for somebody to do it against that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised. And the same goes to anything. But now these people call it little things. You shouldn't pay attention to the little things. A'udhu billah. And also you can understand why some of us cannot do the big things. Because if the little one is difficult for me to do, how can you expect me to be able to do the big thing, you know? And actually, you see these things that some people call tiny, tiny things, they are there as a blessing from Allah's matter for us to train ourselves for the bigger matters when they come. If you are incapable of doing them, preserving them according to your ability, trust me, when the big matter comes, you might be, failing in being able to achieve that which Sharia wants from you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "La tahqiranna min al-ma'ruf shay'a." Don't you ever belittle anything that is called ma'ruf. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, just do. What is ma'ruf? Ma ta'rifu shari'a. Whatever is recognized by the Sharia, Sharia accepts it and Sharia recognizes it, that's ma'ruf. And this is what the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all about. Qala wa an تُكَلِّمَ أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجَاكَ قَالَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you can also make sure that whenever you talk to your brother, you are مُنْبَسِطٌ وَجِهِ. مُنْبَسِطٌ وَجِهِ. What is مُنْبَسِطٌ وَجِهِ? Smiling. Your face is the face of somebody who is telling him, you are welcome. Yeah, you know I'm telling the truth. There are some of our brothers and sisters who are trying their best to follow the, you know, method and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they think being a righteous person means that whenever you meet a person, you have to be meeting him with a very serious face. Yeah, that was why when you meet them, you shake their hands. If you look at their face, because when we meet each other, what do? I shake your hand, my head is like this. No, we don't do that. I look at you, I smile, you know. But subhanAllah, some of our brothers, trust me, when you look at him, you're shaking his hand. If not, wallahi, Islam says is recommended to do that. You will never meet him and shake his hand again. Because the face is so angry. It's like somebody who is pressured by you to stretch his hand to shake yours. Why is he doing this? Because he thinks he's righteous, he's busy. He has a lot of issues, you know, in front of him. Even if you don't have aqidah matters with him, you know, this a person who doesn't know you, this is the first time you meet him, you know, with one of your friends, you are shaking his hand, but his face is like this. A'udhu billah. This is not the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah is not like that. And wallahi, you are the loser. Whoever is doing this is the loser. He's losing. This is not our deed. Our deen, when you meet your brothers, a sister meet a sister, they meet mumbasiti al-wujuh. The wajh, the face, have to be mumbasit. Means happy face. You're welcome. You get it? I don't have issue with you. That's why when they shake hand of Rasulullah, he held the hand. You know, this part of the hand goes into theirs. Not like this, you know. Or like this, you have some other, many types of salam. Or the touch and go kind of salam. The person just touch and run away. And sometimes, subhanAllah, you know, I'm just telling you an example that I witnessed, you know, sometimes when it just touch your hand and then look at the other side. Ya Rajul Anahuna, I'm in front of you here, but his face is in another place. What message is he telling me? You are not welcome. Rasulullah is not like that. But he shakes the hand, he faces the person, he looks at him, he focuses on him. If that person happened to tell the Prophet something, in a way, sometimes some of them even deceive themselves, thinking that actually they are the closest people to Rasulullah. You remember that companion, right? Rasulullah was talking to him. SubhanAllah, he enjoys the focus. He sees that Rasulullah is only focusing on him. Nobody else is the one who is getting all the attention. He stopped whatever he was telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, wait a minute. Who is better, Abu Bakr or Umar? What is the connection? But you can imagine how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving him attention. In the way he even forgot what brought him to the place, he started asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam unrelated matters. He says, Ya Rasulullah, who is better? Is it Abu Bakr or me? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Abu Bakr. He said, Ya Rasulullah, how about Umar? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Umar. He said, Ya Rasulullah, how about Uthman? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Uthman. He said, I stopped asking from here. He said, the reason why I stopped asking because I was scared there are some people that I believe I'm better than them. I might ask him about those ones, you know. At least Abu Bakr and Umar, he already knows that these ones are better than him. He just wants to confirm. Because of the way the Prophet was treating him, not giving them attention, but he's giving him attention because he's the one who came first. SubhanAllah. That's how the Prophet was able to gain everyone to his side. Iwallah. That's how he managed to gain everyone to his side. You remember even the Kuffar in Makkah, when he made dua against them, they told him, Ya Rasulullah, you are not like that. SubhanAllah. They went to him, they told him, Ya Muhammad, you are not like that. That's too much. They were scared because they know who he was among them. that you are dying is a very, very, very important matter to all of us, being given to this man by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meet your brothers with salam, with good face. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is a charity to show him good face as a Muslim. Who is the only one that you change your face when you meet him? It's only one person. The person that you try to give da'wah and you exhaust your effort. Not the one that you go to him once, twice, thrice, you know? No, you do a lot. Maybe hundreds of times you have been visiting him. This guy doesn't want to stop doing what he is doing. The scholar said, if you believe that staying away from him can bring him back to his consciousness, then it is wajib upon you to stay away from him. And when you meet him with angry face. Ibn Asim said, Ibn Abd al-Qawi, he says, وَلَاقِهْ بِوَجْهٍ مُكْفَهِرٍ مُرَبَّدٍ. These are all description of the face that you are supposed, even the word is not good. You meet him with those face, but they said, this is only applicable on a person that you believe that the best is to stay away from him, then he will come back to his consciousness. Other than that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised you not to forsake a person. Open the door, keep giving him da'wah. Always take the best example in this regard, Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years of da'wah. And this answers the question that some of us are asking or might be asking, for how long should I be patient? For as long as you live. That's supposed to be like that. How old are you going to be? No matter how much you try, this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live within 60, 70. You have some people who reach 100, you know. Even the Mu'ammar al-Pakistani, the one that is in Pakistan, they said it's 160 years. You get it? Let's say they live 400 years, 500 years. Nuh alayhi salam, just the time of da'wah, the period of da'wah alone is 950 years. 950 years. Da'wah, every day, day and night. قَالَ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. He said, Ya Allah, I give them da'wah, night and day and night. In public and in secret. He uses all the method for 950 years. Never gave up. Until the last minute, and he told Allah, he says, Ya Allah, according to the way I see things are going, لَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. These people will not change. And whoever comes also from their progeny is going to be the same or worse. That's why he says, مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرٌ. And they put him into pressure. It wasn't easy life. It wasn't like he just go on to talk to them and they smile. No, not like that. They pressure him a lot. Only Allah knows how much that man was persecuted by those people. Never complain. And when it comes to our time, I just meet him once and I give him the da'wah and he is not willing to accept, and then I make a lot of negative comments. If somebody wants to approach him also, I would tell him, you're just going to waste your time. We have to change this. You Allah, we have to change this. Meet your brothers and sisters with wajh mumbasit. When I say brothers and sisters, it means brothers with brothers, sisters with. The Fuqaha says, saying salam between the Shab and Shabbat, Shabab and Shabbat, he says is wrong. If a teacher says salam to his student, there's a teacher and student, right? Student and the teacher. An old man with the young people. These are all fine. You get it? But the young people amongst themselves, that salam is not only salam. Right? Salam and something else. That's why the Fuqaha says, they should be very, very careful. When somebody says salam to you, you reply, whoever that person is, male and female, because it's wajib for you to reply, but reply in a decent way. Is that clear, inshallah? When you meet your brothers, smile. A sister, when she meets her sisters, she smiles to them, shakes their hands. This is our religion. Shaking hand can earn you, you know, reward, and also at the same time, you will get relief from your sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you meet your brother and you shake his hand, your sins will be dropped down, just like the way the leaves of a tree, when the wind, the dry leaves, when the wind blows, the leaves are falling down. This is how your sins will be taken away from you when you shake the hand of your Muslim brothers when you meet them. Exactly, inshallah. Ibn Abdul Qawi says, وصافح لمن تلقاه من كل مسلم تناثر خطاياكم كما في المسند. He says, whenever you meet a Muslim, shake his hand. You know that this is a Muslim? Say salam to him, at least say salam to him. Which is one of the forgotten sunnah nowadays, and it's a sign of the day of judgment. So please, let's collectively change this. You know, when you meet your brothers from now onward, no more angry face. Iwallah. Sometimes you will be wondering, what did I do to him, you know? And there is nothing. Just because his righteousness told him that you have to be very busy and you have no time for others and you must be serious all the time. But you have to remember, no matter how much righteous you are, you will never be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he says salam to everyone. He smiles to everyone. You will never be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correctly. And then he told him, وَرْفَعْ إِزَارَكَ إِلَىٰ نِسْفِ السَّاقِ فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ فَإِلَىٰ الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِسْبَالَ الْإِزَارِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ. He says, raise of your garment up to half of your shin. Half of your shin. He says, do that. He says, فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ. But if you think that would be difficult, because sometimes, you know, nowadays, it might be very difficult for a person to do this. You work in a place, and in some other places also, you might be the only one who is doing. So people focus on you so much. So the Prophet ﷺ gave us another permissible sunnah. He says, فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ فَإِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. If you refuse to do that, then let it go down up to the Ka'bayn. SubhanAllah, between the Ka'bayn and the shoes, nothing. Because when you wear the shoes, sometimes you make it up to the Kaaba and it goes almost next to the shoes. So whatever you are afraid of people looking at you, nobody even will pay attention to it. That's why I really urge every Muslim, you know, to pay attention to this. Rather than following rukhas unnecessarily, even those scholars you are following, they say it's makruh. Meaning, if you stay away from it, you will be rewarded. And you have a large group of other scholars who believe that, no, it's wajib. If a person doesn't do it, that part of the leg might be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the sunnah. And if a person doesn't get to be careful, he might go and receive the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Nobody wants this. So rather than following your desire, you know, try your best. Go at least to the lowest permissible, you know, moment and situation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. قَالَ وَإِيَّكَ وَإِسْبَالِ الْإِزَارِ. And he says, I warn you from doing isbal. Where is something that goes below the ankle? قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ. Because this is part of the خُيَلَة. Show of arrogance. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't do it because it's part of the خُيَلَة. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمَخِيلَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like خُيَلَة. So as I always mention, being on the safe side is always good for you. Allah. Being on the safe side is always good for you. I know that, yeah, some scholars said this, some scholars said that, but being on the safe side is always better for you. قَالَ وَإِنْ امْرُؤٌ شَتَمَكَ وَعَيَّرَكَ بِمَا يَعْلَمُ فِيكَ فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْ فلا تعيره بما تعلم فيه. He says, if a person shatamak, if you have a person who insulted you and cursed you, بما يعلم فيك. This one is quite interesting because we are monitored by people. So we have somebody who he knows about your life and he knows who you are. So he started talking about those things which he knows, which are deficiency to you. He cursed you, he insulted you, he mentioned things which, you know, were practiced by you in secret, but unfortunately he knows. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنْ امْرُؤٌ شَتَمَكَ وَعَيَّرَكَ بِمَا يَعْلَمُ فِيكَ فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ فَإِنَّمَا وَبَالُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. Rasulullah ﷺ said, don't reply by insulting him through mentioning things which you know he does. And this is what we do. Hamad talk against me, I also know his life, then I talk against him also in the same way. I mention things which only me knows about them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do that. If somebody curse you, insulted you, and says something bad about you, using things which he knows about you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you don't reply him in the same way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ba'uthi rahmatil lil alamin. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. There is a question about somebody who believes that his nature is not to smile. It's like that. But he says his heart is fine. That's great. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our heart. But my advice to this person, whoever he might be, there are two types of behavior. One of them is acquired, and the other one is naturally given. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, do this. Yeah. There are some people naturally, even if they don't know this, but when they meet a person, they meet him with smile. This is like that. And most of the people, they have to learn. Yeah, they have variety types of attitudes and behaviors. So Islam tells you this one is good, this one is that. So you're doing it because Islam advises you to do. You keep doing it slowly, slowly, gradually, until it becomes part of you. So advise whoever is asking to take this opportunity that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises to do. Your heart will never be as pure as the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never. Whenever he meets people, he meets them in this way. So that means we can do it. Bismillahi ta'ala, Allah doesn't ask us to do something which is beyond our capability. I'm pretty sure this person has a moment where he smiles in his life. I'm pretty sure he has a moment where he laughs in his life. So in the way he smiles some other moments, he can also do it when he meets his brothers. You know, if it's a sister who is asking when she meets her sister, she can also smile to the people and laugh and say salam to them and greet them in a nice way and show good face rather than showing angry face. Yeah, because that which is in your heart, we don't know. People try to look at your face to read, you know, your acceptance, you know, for them or rejection. If your face is always angry, although your heart is clean, but how can they read that? They cannot read it. So if they cannot read it, then they have to see the translation of that which is in the heart on your face. So a person should control his face and make sure that he show the believers that good face the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him to do. So even if it is not part of you, part of your behavior, but I believe it is very simple for a person to acquire this behavior and do things in the correct way, inshallah. So don't deprive yourself from this noble charity. Because when you meet your brother and show good face, say salam to him, Allah will write it as a charity for you. So it's a great reward that you don't need to make any effort. Yeah, you don't need to make any effort. I cannot live alone. I have to meet my brothers and sisters. When I meet them, the Prophet ﷺ told me what to do. And I observe that manner. You get it? And I get reward. So it's a win-win situation. But if you don't, and you don't try your best to accommodate this behavior and to be familiar with it and to make it part of you, trust me, you are losing. Ewallah, you are losing. And also you're opening the door for people to see you as an arrogant person. Yeah, they will be keep on talking about you being arrogant because they don't know what is in you, in your heart. May Allah grant us good and ability to apply the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.